Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Well, welcome to Cascade Connects Men's Soccer Edition. I'm your host, Rob Cashel, Conference Commissioner. And on behalf of myself and our director, Courtney Blummer, we are excited to welcome head coach Troy Reddy of the Warner Pacific Knights and two of his players, Richie Bailey and Brendan Leach, to the podcast. Coach and guys, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Well, Coach, we are so excited for conference soccer to begin. Obviously, I know coaches don't like to look backwards, but I think we'd really be missing if we didn't talk about really your historic year last year and kind of what you've done at Warner Pacific to really posture your program nationally as well. Last year, conference champions, tournament champions. The last 2 years you have shared or won outright the conference title. So talk a little bit about last year's journey and the excitement that you had with that, and then also making it onto that next level, the national tournament.
Yeah, it was a special year for sure. I mean, in their own ways, each season feels special and unique. I know heading into last season, having shared the conference championship the year before, there's always kind of a feeling of, oh man, how are we going to do that again? We had lost some significant players, and you know, the started last season well, but the wins just kept coming and coming, and so you know, it's crazy looking back now to think that the one taste of defeat was that one match at the end of the season, which put us out of advancing further in the national tournament. So in a similar way, you know, we find ourselves here saying, okay, how are we going to do that again? We lost more pieces, but again, we brought in amazing players to reload the quality, and now, you know, contrary to early years when I had taken over the program, there's now kind of an established culture and core to where we tend to get the momentum rolling faster than we previously did.
And Brendan, let me turn to you quickly, because obviously you're part of that culture that Coach is referring to. You've been with the program. You've helped establish that culture. So talk a little bit about how you guys prepare mentally to keep it going year in and year out, because you really have had great success.
Yeah, so something to do with that culture, I was at Clark for 1 year, and I actually came over because of the culture to Warner a year early. So just the practice, like the atmosphere, the togetherness of like a family, and just all being connected, I think that's really like what the culture is at Warner.
What's it like to have the pressure of expectation? You know, for most athletes, you want the expectation, but then when it comes, sometimes you're not quite ready for it. So what's that like? What's the locker room like when you talk about the expectation of, hey, we're pick number one in the league and people are coming for us?
Yeah, the expectation is for us to just level up even more from last year. I think, we're all confident as a team that we can do even better than last year. So I don't think we really have any kind of like fear factor or anything. I think we're coming into it as like we're number one and we're going to come out and win again.
And Richie, let me turn to you as a new player into the program. What's it been like for you to come into this and see that veteran leadership and kind of that established culture? What are your expectations? You've obviously had some preseason games under your belt, but this week is a whole other animal.
Yeah, for sure. No, the expectations, just to reiterate what Brendan said, is just that we know we're number one, and we've just got to keep raising the bar each week, wear the shirt with pride, because we know that there's a target on our back. So we have to just keep being relentless every day in training. and just keep getting better and better. You know, this is an amazing culture here. We've got brothers that are in Christ together, so we're not just unified on the pitch, but off the pitch also. Before every game and practice, we're praying together. We've got people that want to do life with each other, not just on the pitch, but want to look out for each other off the pitch as well. And that makes a huge, huge difference, because then when we're on the pitch, everyone's got each other's back. Everyone wants to work hard for their mates and for the coach, because we see the hours that Coach Troy and Coach Cameron are putting in. So we want to be able to give back not only to them, but to the program and to each other as a whole. And I think that's what's just going to keep driving us on throughout the season and the culture that's been established here at Warner.
Yeah, and if I would add one thing to kind of circle back to what you asked, Rob, and these guys have touched on it. We often have kind of, amidst some of the things we stake our season on, we often have one kind of key phrase that is to encompass what we're going to be about. So this year, after last year's success, has been this idea of always celebrating, but never satisfied. So we can certainly look back and be grateful and acknowledge what we did last year and how far the program has come, but there has to be a continued drive toward never being satisfied. The humorous side of the story is the year before, our motto was Destination Excellence. And in one of our preseason meetings, one of our players was like tinkering around with self-tattooing. So he had a tattoo gun, was tattooing all over his body. So he said last year, "So coach, if we win the conference championship again, are you going to get a tattoo?" And to this day, I don't think I said yes. I said, "I'll think about it." Well, sure enough, afterwards, the team started pressing, "You're going to get that tattoo, right?" Well, there's no way for my first tattoo I was going to let one of my players that was, you know, just getting a handle on it. But I did visit a Portland tattoo parlor, which there are many to choose from. And, have that phrase, Destination Excellence, now embedded on the body, so to speak.
That's a great story. They held you accountable to what you said, which is awesome.
They did. Although, again, I don't know if I said yes. Yeah. Richie wasn't there. Brendan would have to vouch either for me or for the group, and he probably will go with the group.
Yeah. Brendan, he's nodding his head. Yeah, coach, you said it. You said it, coach.
Fair enough.
Well, coach, let's talk a little bit about our conference. We did a similar podcast with Coach Smith from College of Idaho. They're picked first on the women's side. We talked about nationally how it's been really hard for both our men's and women's programs to get that national recognition. And a lot of it is because we just were so isolated geographically that we can't get out and play a lot of those teams in the Midwest and the South. But with that said, going back to the national tournament, wherever that is, has really elevated our play. So in your mind, you know, having been there and played against some of these top teams, talk about the respect, what do we need to do to continue to elevate the excellence, if you will, of our league play?
No, I am not privy to watching every conference in the nation, but I think very, very highly of our conference and the level top to bottom for multitudes of reasons. I mean, even just one, the amount of geographical space and travel that, you know, you endure on a bus trip. You know, we start the season home and then we're on the road, I think, four straight weeks, and week two is a 20 plus hour bus trip, you know, to play game one, and then in the bus after the game to get to game two. So there's those nuances as well that I don't think maybe other parts of the nation appreciate. But yeah, we have an incredible conference, and, you know, I think sometimes, my opinion, but it seems like we're far enough out of sight, out of mind from the Midwest, which is maybe where more of the central hub of the NAIA situates itself. So there's less eyes on what we're doing. But I think, yeah, as we can continue to advocate for one another as a conference, that certainly is within the rankings, that's certainly in who we play in non-conference. And then as our teams make runs, you know, hopefully deep into the national tournament, all of those things help to, you know, to elevate who I think really we are as a group. As you said, it's, you know, I sent out 25 plus invitations to teams to try to get NAIA school matchups. And, you know, that in and of itself, when so much of the nation has places they can go in a 2-hour bus ride and get matches versus paying a lot of money to fly to Portland, has always been a significant challenge for us. So we try to navigate that as best we can. It's not ideal, but yeah, I think really top to bottom, it's a very strong conference. And even last year within our pod of four at the national tournament, you know, we were watching two of the teams play in anticipation then of, you know, who would be a matchup. And us as a staff are looking at each other saying, man, I don't know if these two teams would even finish top five in our conference. And there they were at the national tournament. So yeah, I think similar to you, we want the conference to be seen and known and respected for the value and quality that we have.
Brendan, have you prepped Richie on what that 20-hour bus ride is going to be like for those games yet?
I actually didn't take that last year, so I don't know if I have to prep myself.
Okay.
Yeah, we had some other long trips last year, and I haven't prepped them much personally, but I'll make sure to let them know how hard they are.
Yeah, you guys are going to love it.
In Europe, that gets you through, like, you know, four different countries. So
yeah,
you won't even have to show your passport on this trip, Richie. You're still in the same country. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Coach, let's talk a little bit about your preseason. You're going to enter league play at 3-1. You had two victories over NCAA Division III, a victory over NAIA Park, and then you had really a dominating performance over St. Martin's, but then kind of lost last minute. But, you know, hey, an L is an L, but you're gonna enter in 3-1. And right out of the gate, you get Southern and OIT, which are on the top end of our conference as well. So talk a little bit about that preseason and what you saw out of it from your returners and your newcomers, and then we'll turn to the matchup this weekend.
Sure. Yeah, I've learned a lot just over the years from year one in inheriting a group, and then, you know, some of the challenges of even just getting players eligible to compete in those early games. So we had most players eligible for that first match, but we're also, you know, cautious with injury. You're trying to navigate new pairings and partnerships and players that maybe are new to the system. So as you said, you know, it was in the time, it was a hard loss to swallow with the way the game happened. You know, our goalkeeper was not forced to make a single save on the game. We missed a penalty. We missed several breakaways. And then the goal at the end didn't even just happen last minute. It literally happened last second where the referees didn't even know if the ball had crossed the line. So they gave benefit to the attacking team. And, you know, at the moment, you know, coming off one loss all last year and then saying, oh my gosh, we're starting 0-1, and, you know, it's kind of a shock to the system. But then it certainly could be that looking backwards, that was a good lesson and reminder that, you know, especially in a game like soccer, where one fluke moment can happen. These things can still happen if you don't take your chances. And so I think we're past that now, getting three results. But a good, maybe early lesson to make sure that, you know, we realize you don't just keep winning because you've been winning. You have to keep paying attention to details. Not the strongest of opponents in terms of the D3, but again, local teams that I have a good relationship with their coaches. And so those are good local games to find. And then we were able to bring Park University in for an NAI matchup. So we had a unique, I think the last thing I'll say before talking about this coming weekend is we had a unique situation where we didn't have any games this past weekend. But I took a chance to, we had the guys show up in their full jerseys, built out two teams, two separate days, and started to try to mimic, you know, these crazy 90 minute, one day, 90 minute match, you know, the next day. So we ran 260 minutes back to back to start mimicking what that load is going to be like for the players. And both those games were very highly competitive. And I think we got out of that what we needed.
Well, there's no question that Southern coming in this weekend and Oregon Tech coming in this weekend are going to be highly competitive games and hard fought. What's your expectation? What do you know about your opponents this week in terms of, you know, their new players and their returners and kind of what's your expectation going into the weekend?
Yeah. Both teams who've been recently successful and posed different threats in and of themselves. So there's individual dangerous players on each team that you have to account for. And then, yeah, just different sort of mentalities that each of those teams bring as well, to where you have to, you know, we always tell our group, it's always about us, but you have to take into account, you know, the nuances of individual players or different playing styles that you're coming up against. And so, you know, whether that's heavily focused on set plays or counterattacking team, making sure that you're ready in those moments. So I feel really good about where our group is at. And so the expectation is to go be us and perform. And I think if we're playing the Warner Pacific way and we're going to be very, very hard to beat. Both those teams capable of getting a result, but if the focus is on us and we're doing what we need to do, I feel really confident about those two matchups.
Brendan, we, as you know, we play back-to-back in our soccer league, which is unique and highly demanding. And Richie, not sure if you've experienced that before, but what are you guys talking about in the locker room to the new players on how to get prepared for that grind of our conference season?
So with those two matches, as Troy talked about, we did that to get prepared first and foremost. And that was really important so the new players that haven't played back-to-back, they know like what you have to do for your body for the next game. The biggest thing we focus on is like you really have to take care of your body, recover, like get that sleep the night before the game, even more than you think. Because like you said, like not many places play back-to-back games. And I wasn't prepared for that coming into my season last year. But as the season goes on, you just have to keep taking care of your body. And I would say that's the number one focus that we've been talking to our new recruits about.
Yeah, it will be taking care of your body, getting the right nutrition, making sure that we're doing everything we can possible in terms of like stretching, mobility. We've got like good facilities here, so we can use like the ice bath. We can speak to our trainer and he can help us if we're tight in certain areas or need to do anything to help with them injuries or to prevent injury from happening. And we've also got a lot of squad depth as well, which really helps. You know, we've got a lot of quality and a lot of depth to our to our team. So that really helps as well. So if certain players are tired or may not be able to give 100%, then we've got someone to just fill in who can do just as good of a job, which is brilliant, because it's down to the coaches recruiting, and they've obviously done their homework, and we've got players in every position that can fill in and do a good job. So yeah, I think that's really helpful when it comes to these back-to-back games, and everyone knows their roles and responsibilities.
Yeah, Coach, I would say I haven't watched a lot of your games, but the ones that I have watched, it seems to me one thing that stood out for me was really conditioning. It seems like your guys have always been, and that's something you brought to the program, is really a high level of conditioning. Is that something, maybe I'm missing the mark, and maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but talk about your emphasis on that, on the conditioning part.
Yeah, they would probably, no, we don't do all that much. And if that is their response, then the methodology is working. I mean, as a player, running is part of the game. So say, you know, you have to run and you have to compete and you have to cut and jump and tackle deep into games. But, you know, getting that in the midst of playing as much as possible, I think is the best case scenario. So we, you know, secret blown, I suppose, we try to build as much of the fitness into the sessions themselves, where if players are competing and defending and recovering in the right way, they're getting the load that they need. So yeah, so not a lot of outright get on the line type running, but you know, that again has been an evolution of the program, as Richie alluded to, with the depth of the team. It's just, you know, you shape up any given 11v11 within our group and it's going to be very competitive. And so that in and of itself is always demanding more and more of the players to be training in the right way.
Yeah, it just always has seemed to me that your guys never appear gassed or out of condition, and that speaks to kind of your philosophy. Guys, your coach has played at high level, was a player at University of Washington, played at professionally. How much has that gone into, you know, when Coach is sitting there talking to you about strategy and everything? Tell me about the respect that your group has for, you know, really somebody who's been at that level that you want to be at.
Yeah, so it's huge. The whole team has this just known respect for Troy. He doesn't like to bring it up too often, but we all know he's played at that high level, of course. So just when he's talking about tactics and like the boardroom and stuff like that, you can just really tell he knows what he's talking about. So that right there is just like immediate. The whole team has respect for him. That's stuff like we don't even know. Stuff that he's working extra off the field to get insights on other team and stuff like that. That something I feel like I know a lot about soccer, and then Troy will keep teaching me more. And just really going in depth, you would just have to be at one of the meetings to understand, but it's really good.
Yeah, the attention to detail is crazy. Troy can like really get specific, and we learn new things every time we're on the training field and even off the field if we're analyzing tape, or Troy will point out certain things that we've missed. So yeah, the attention to details, amazing, to be honest. And we're always learning on people in every position, or what we could do better here, or what runs we should make, and where we should position ourselves and things like that. So yeah, we're truly grateful to have a coach like Troy as well. So yeah.
That may carry some weight, Rob, for just a few more years. But then, you know, these guys, the gap keeps getting bigger and bigger. All these guys stay the same age. I keep getting older and older. So they're going to pretty soon be asking, did you guys play with like leather soccer balls or you know what? So that may carry some weight for a few more years, but not many more.
Yeah, no doubt. They stay 18 to 22, and we keep aging right out of that. Coach, you talked about the culture, and the guys talked about it too, in terms of it's not just on the pitch. It's academics. It's the community service. And I know, Coach, I know serving the community is big for Warner Pacific as an institution, and certainly is for your program. Can you give me a little insight into how you weave that into your program and what that means for your young men?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a phrase early on that I don't use enough anymore, but when that was not a part of the identity of the program and the culture, and, you know, so much of the focus was just on the team and what they do on the field, who cares about how we are in the classroom. Early on, you know, we talked a lot about how you do anything is how you do everything. And so that goes to the way that you properly bus your dishes in the cafeteria, not leaving them for someone else. That goes in the classroom with being attentive and getting the help you need on the front end of things before you start getting behind. It's looking for opportunities. A lot of our guys coach and have been invested in different youth programs. We partnered with an organization, Team Impact, which partners youth that are dealing with medical conditions with collegiate teams. So so there's a lot of unique ways to, I think, help expand the minds. And remember, as much as this season and all that goes into it is important, there is a bigger narrative at play that we all get to be a part of.
Guys, talk about the impact that focus has had on you as not only soccer players, but really individuals.
Yeah, I was going to say, off the field, just the impact that has on you as a person, and especially at such a young age, to be able to like do things like that as a program and just to be able to learn, it just really helps you grow as an individual and like realize like really like what's important in life. Like Troy always says, like being at someone's wedding or something like that, close in the team, like that's the stuff we want to see later in life. Like we're all here for soccer, but at the end of the day, life is more than soccer, you know? So that's really a big focus that we have as a team.
Yeah. And also like how we can serve outside of the community and just serve others, you know, the same way that Christ came to serve. So Troy's really embedded that into the players as well and into the team, just creating that culture of like wanting to have a servant's heart and not just wanting to gain things for yourself, but wanting to do things to help others.
Yeah, that's great. And Coach, I know that's a big emphasis in your department and your campus as well. Speaking of your department and your campus, unbelievable advocate in your athletic director, Matt Gregg, your president, Dr. Johnson. And I know that there's early on discussions and there's hope to build a soccer facility on campus. Any update on that or how's that coming in terms of trying to navigate somewhat landlocked at Warner Pacific, to be honest with you?
Yeah, I think the best plans that are in process would be off-site and in partnership with another entity where it's a win-win for both groups. So I was more heavily involved in that in the spring, and then come fall, it's like I you know, with my own family and three young kids, and I have a role still as chaplain with the Portland Timbers, and then all that goes into the season, you know, I tend to just focus my energies there. But yeah, it would be great. It would be a value add. You know, that said, I my freshman year at the University of Washington, they said, by the time you're a senior, we're going to have a stadium built for you. And, you know, that group has always been in the top 10. I think 2 years ago they lost in the national championship game and they still don't have that stadium. So I know that there's challenges that go into those sort of projects. I'll keep, you know, trying to have a voice to push that through. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot bigger things that make up a successful program than having the right field. So, and that's, you know, in many ways, that's what I love about being here at Warner Pacific. And, you know, without going into details, there's a lot of things that we are up against, and the chips are kind of stacked against us. And, you know, I'm still doing the laundry every day, you know, the training bibs. And so I always say, you know, because of how much that goes into it, because I know how much that goes into it, both for the players and our staff and our trainer, it makes those successes, not just wins, but life successes, that much sweeter.
Well, and I think you're right in terms of campus and community partnerships. We have several of our schools in our league that have formed those, and they've worked out really well. So I wish you guys luck with that as well. Coach and Richie and Brendan, can't thank you enough for joining our podcast. We are so looking forward to the start of men's soccer conference play. We wish you guys well. You're going to open up at home. You have the Raiders of Southern Oregon and the Owls of Oregon Tech Friday and Saturday. So thank you so much. On behalf of the conference and my director, Courtney Bloomer, this has been Cascade Connects.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
On behalf of Director Courtney Blummer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships, and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.